Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by me, your spirit messenger, Nicole Quinn. So hi to everybody out in the chat room right now, everyone that's listening to us live, and I am really always happy to see everybody there in the chat room just having a good time and talking about what we're talking about on the air. So if you're listening on your computer and you scroll down to see the chat room but you can't seem to function in it, it's because you need to sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account. Once you do that, you can get in there and talk to all the other people, private message each other if you'd like to do that. It enhances the show. So thanks for joining me today. And if you're listening on the replay later, thank you for tuning in. And the music, the message is still the same, even if it's live or if it's not. So, still good. I'm trying to get music for my show, by the way. I know that it's probably, like, really not as good as some of the shows that have music. And I have a friend that's working on that for me. So working on that. A lot of stuff going on this week. I have a lot of things to talk about, but I'm going to try to stick to a pretty tight schedule here because I know we only have 30 minutes. So real quick, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the disaster that's happening in Japan right now. And I just want to ask everyone, you know, to take a moment today to just say a quick prayer. It really does make a difference. Your thoughts and your energies matter. So instead of dwelling on the destruction and the images that are being shown right now of the horrible things that are happening, and that's not to say we don't acknowledge that there's something bad happening, but if you could use your thoughts and your energy to imagine it being cleaned up, to imagine it being taken care of, you can visualize light shining down on the people there that's, you know, bringing them hope and repairing things. So much more useful, than looking at the other stuff, because your thoughts do make, you know, they manifest things. It's not just, you know, these empty things that don't ever go anywhere. Everything you think about takes form somewhere, somehow. So today's show, I'm going to talk about a little bit of overcoming the issues that stand in the way of people that are trying to develop and hear their inner voice. And I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit here, so forgive me. But like I always say, you know, if you have a question, chances are that more than one person have the same question. And when I ask for people every single week to email me, to Facebook me, send me their questions, I get, like, no responses. Why don't I get any responses? I don't understand. I'm asking you guys out to tell me what you want to know. I'm offering you the chance for me to just tell you. And instead, I'd rather, like, you guys would rather have, like, 10 people on the lines and I never get to open up the phone lines and say anything because there's not enough time. So what I'm basically saying is, instead of doing that and sitting there and hoping someone picks up the phone to answer your question, why wouldn't you just send it to me and let me answer it without all of that hubbub? It saves time. You get your answer. Other people get to be helped by what you're asking. I don't know. It just seems to make more sense. And considering I only have the short amount of time, it just seems like it would be a better option. So, you know, a little frustrated with this. Really would like to get some participation going, but I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to be able to take 10 phone calls in 30 minutes, even if I did the whole show that way. I just can't do it. So that's the situation. Now, if everybody that had the question that's on the phone line wanted to submit their question ahead of time and say, you know, even if it's a personal question, I could still answer it. If it's, you know, this is something that's going on in my life, is there a chance you could pull a couple of cards during the show and read for me? I could do that. What I can't do is sit there and go through all of those phone calls. I just can't. It's not fair to you to get a half-assed answer. It's not fair to me to feel pressured to be on the spot and be, you know, 100% when I don't have the opportunity and the time to do that. So to make everybody happy, this is what I would like, you know, for the future going forward, if you could just send your questions in ahead of time. Now, I did get a question this week on my Facebook page, and I want to say thank you to Sandra for submitting that question. Thank you, thank you. It's something I can definitely work with, and I can answer the question. There's probably more than one question in her question, but I'll do the best that I can to get, you know, through most of it. So, she wants to know how to handle scary situations that may come up in your psychic development. How to tell the difference between imagination and actually contacting your guides and angels, and how to shut off your analytical mind to let your intuition flow. Okay, a lot of questions in that question, but, you know, you get the sense. And let's see. Well, I got somebody else that just said they wanted to know more about angels. at the moment, I don't really have an angel expert to bring in, and it's not my, you know, it's not really my area of expertise, so I can work on that and see what happens if I bring somebody in to talk a little bit about that. I think I might have an angel reader that I can, locally, that I can bring in, and we can do something about that. So the biggest thing here, how to handle scary situations, that is like a glaring comment to me. What is so scary about talking to spirit? When you prayed to God as a child, were you afraid to do that? What do you think is going to happen? And here's the big thing, guys. Most of what happens with people when they first start to develop is it's a normal thing. It's called fear. Now, fear is an emotion that was intended to keep us out of danger. It's what keeps us from doing things that are kind of dangerous and silly. So, you know, you don't want to walk out in front of a car, for example, you know, or if you're in the woods, you see a moose charging at you. This is the kind of thing that fear is useful for. And it's not really useful the way that we're using it today, but the problem being that we've been conditioned as a society to be fearful because it's beneficial to a whole lot of people. You know, it's beneficial to people who want to sell you things. It's beneficial to people who want to keep you in a place where they can continually control you and manipulate you. This is what fear is used for now. It is not the original intended, I guess, result that we wanted for this emotion. So why do we have so much to fear? Well, like I said, it's a marketable commodity. It's easy to manipulate people. Let me see. I wrote down a couple of notes here. Well, we buy things because we're afraid of not being up to speed with everybody else, afraid, or that we're afraid we're going to get a disease or a condition, like all of these colon cleansing things on TV. Sorry to be gross, but how many people on this planet do you really think are walking around with like a dumpster full of waste that they just need to sell this product just to get it, to make you think that you're full of garbage to get you to buy this thing? And you don't know because you can't see in there, you know? Hey, it may be true, but I'm just saying, this is one of the things that I find a little bit ridiculous, and it's definitely a fear tactic. I'm sorry. I worked in marketing. I know exactly what they're doing. They've picked their words very carefully. That's just what it is. The list goes on with this stuff, the stuff that we're conditioned to do. Like every time a new device comes out, you're afraid people are going to look at you and not think that you're cool enough, so you have to buy the new device even though you don't have the money, and so you charge up your charge cards. I mean, it's like an endless array of crap that we do in the name of fear. Now, the fight or flight chemicals that happen, anytime you have an emotion, there is a chemical reaction in your body. And don't worry, guys, I'm going somewhere with this. This has to be covered in order for you to really understand why you're even coming from this place when you're going into this subject. There's all these chemicals that are released in your body, and they're meant to help you fight or flee from actual physical danger. In today's society, because we have used fear in so many ways and it's so ingrained in us that we fear every little thing that we do every single day. Am I wearing the right thing? Did I drink coffee with too much caffeine? I mean, you could go crazy with this stuff, with questioning yourself. And here's why you guys love me, because I'm going to tell it to you like it is. Stress is the name for what happens when we have the fight or flight chemicals flowing through our bodies but have no way to play out that scenario. Sitting at a desk while full-blown in this mode, it's no way to live, and there's nothing you can do about it. And the body has its own intelligence, believe it or not, really. This stuff happens because there is an intelligence there. And when you have that fear and that fight or flight, your body produces these chemicals, and in response, you are supposed to do one or the other, fight or flee. Those chemicals that flow as a result of you doing those actions are what bring down the other chemicals and counterbalance them. If you're just sitting there, you're just continually letting that stuff flow, and it's horrible. And instead, it messes with your health, it messes with your organs. It definitely ruins, you know, your ability to concentrate and the mental functions you're supposed to do. So how do we do this? How do we stop the madness, you know, because it's really madness? Well, you need to start realizing that you don't have to be afraid of everything. You don't have to be, and I feel like, you know, I'm little Miss Fairy Godmother coming down and telling you, you don't have to be afraid of everything. I mean, yes, you should look both ways before you cross the street. I'm not saying be stupid, but you don't have to be afraid that everything that you do is going to turn into, like, certain disaster. So try to come from that place instead of coming from that place of fear, and right there you'll have made major, major steps, and you'll be able to move forward a lot faster. So, like, let's translate this into the spirituality. So, okay, you want to start listening to your inner voice. And you want to start getting messages from your guides and spirits and all that. You're afraid. What are you afraid of? Okay, well, you might be afraid you're wrong, or that something bad will happen, or that you're going to look foolish in front of other people. You know, this is the kind of stuff that's normal. You have to trust. And I know that sounds airy-fairy too, but it's true. If you just sit there for a few minutes and turn off the electronics, maybe open a window, you know, for God's sake, and just allow yourself to be in the moment, to not worry about the past, to not worry about the future, just to sit, you will see that there is a distinct difference in the way your body will feel. This is the first way for you to start taking back the control that you've given away to everybody. It's a way to take back your power. Because whatever you fear, somebody has put that fear in your head, and every time that you've allowed that to happen, you've given away a little piece of your power. And that's why you're having these feelings like you're helpless and you need to consult someone else, because you're not sure that all by yourself you're not good enough to be able to do this. And so that's where I'm coming from with this. Now, the way that your left brain was trained to be overly analytical, and you were trained for your right brain to be turned off, you can retrain your brain. You can develop the right part of your brain. Allow yourself to accept that that's possible, and then move forward. So let me look at the chat room real quick here. Oh, everybody's talking cool about everything that's going on here. Let me go back and look at the question, because she wrote like three questions in a question. So how do you tell the difference between imagination and actually contacting your spirit guides? Well, once you get past the fear thing, which, by the way, is going to take a while. I mean, I can tell you seriously, for me to get to the place where I knew I was actually hearing actual spirits and seeing actual spirits, to the place where I was able to pass along messages and not feel that doubt and that fear that I was going to be wrong, at least a year, at least. And the only way you do that is by doing it. Like Nike said, just do it. Because there is a difference between reading about something, understanding something, and actually knowing what it is and how to do it. I could sit here forever, and this is an example someone used with me this week, and he told me, I could tell you for like 10 minutes, sit here for 10 minutes talking about how to do a push-up, the mechanics of it, what muscles you use, the position to be in, but unless you actually get on that floor and you do one, you don't really know what it is. And that's an excellent way to put it, because I can sit here forever and tell you all these things, but until you know it yourself, you're not going to believe any of it fully. Because as much as you want to tell yourself, if you ask someone like me who's psychic and who's a medium and who can do this, that if you get the answer from me, then you can believe it, it's not going to work. You have to believe it within yourself. I can tell you this over and over again, and you'll go back and do your thing, and you'll still have the fear because me telling you wasn't good enough. It's never going to be good enough. You have to believe it in your own heart, in your own mind. There is no substitute for it. I know you'd like to hear something easier than that. I'm sorry to tell you, that is not going to be the case. That's how it has to work. So you have to sit there and you have to go through the exercise. And I'll tell you the truth, you may be sitting there for a while and nothing may be happening. That's okay. Once you accept that nothing's happening and your body comes out of that fear state, you'll move into the next state where you're actually open. It's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. So you can sit there maybe for another week and you think maybe you start hearing someone say hello. Okay, so you think. Process that for a little bit. Is that really happening? Let yourself go through the other emotions, because God knows you can't push them away. Then from there, maybe you accept someone said hello to you. And then it goes from there. But unless you physically sit down and you have yourself do these exercises and at least open up, you're never going to be able to do this. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm tired of having people ask me questions that they expect an answer that is very easy, and they get upset when they don't get that answer. Well, then go find somebody who's going to give you the answer you want and see if it works. You know, there's two ways to go here, people. I can tell you the truth, and I can tell you it like it is, which I believe many people appreciate, or I could tell you what you want to hear, and you can continue to be disappointed time after time because it's not going to really happen for you. I choose to go with the truth, you know. And like I said, plenty of other people out there doing this in their own way. Find someone that you think is fantastic and go follow them instead. I don't need people to follow me. I'm not one of those people. What I do is in service to spirit, not to myself. OK, okay? Spirit needs me to tell you these things. I was compelled to do this for so long and fought it and had like all kinds of physical issues as a result of trying to repress all this stuff. And now here I am doing it, and I feel better than I ever have, because when you step into the flow and you do what you're supposed to really be doing, what your body, your instincts, your heart all tell you is the right thing for you, regardless as to what society says or what your family says or your friends, when you live your authentic self, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. I can't guarantee you that fantastic things will happen to you every single day, but some of the most prominent and wonderful people who have come out and brought the world to a place where we made a small shift from like something that wasn't so positive to the next level. I mean, it's for a good reason that we're here doing this work. It's necessary. You're not going to maybe change the entire world with just your lifetime, but you're going to be part of a movement that will help you get out there and do your thing, whatever that may be, whether it's art, whether, and you know, don't judge your purpose. When you feel something inside and you know it's the right thing to do, you really can't judge it. You can't. Because you're going to be judging it by criteria from this planet, this society, this culture. That does not have a place in spirit. It doesn't. Nothing matters there. Even when I talk to my guide, who he calls himself Grandfather, who's a Native American, when I asked him his tribe, he said there is no tribe where he is. He explained to me the tribe that he was, you know, incarnated in, but that where he is, there is no tribe. That tribe only exists here for the purposes of the existence here and how we see things. Every time I get the message, it's always the same thing. You can't beat me over the head enough sometimes, because I want to be sure, just like everybody else. But that's kind of the process that you have to go through. And if you don't sit there and allow yourself to do it, it's never going to work. Like, it's just never going to work. So fear, your biggest enemy. One of the other things I want to bring up, just because we have had this disaster in Japan, I had done a blog on February 2nd, I think that's Groundhog Day, and it was called 2012, A Return to the Old Ways. And it started off with, I was sitting here in San Antonio, and none of us had electricity. Well, at least on my side of town. And I was sitting here, and I thought, you know, I could easily sit here and complain that I don't have hot water. I could complain that I don't have TV or electronics to entertain me. Or I can take a breath and close my eyes and realize that there is absolute calm and stillness all around me as a result of the absence of those things. There's nothing for me to do. There's nowhere for me to be. I can actually just sit here and exist and just feel what it feels like to be. And that's the route that I took. Sometimes you're going to have to debate yourself in your head, but just when you start to even get to that point where you realize, I don't have to think like this, you're moving in the right direction. Give yourself some credit for it, for real. And part of what I wrote had to do with natural disaster. I'm just going to quickly post the link to this blog. You can see a picture of me and my mommy in it. I try to put a lot of personal touches into my blog. There's a reason for that too. But at the towards the end of it, I started to feel really nudged by my guides. Listen, you need to mention this. And I thought, I don't want this to be about that, but it was so strong I had to put it in there. And it said, the technology we put in place, okay, as for 2012, if anything is going to destroy this planet, it's us. The technology we put in place to keep nature at bay is what will cause these so-called natural disasters. The radiation, the pollution, and the structures we've built upon landfills are made by man and do not exist in harmony with nature, but seek to replace it. I couldn't have said that myself. Absolutely not. I mean, they have it right on. You know, we've tried to tell ourselves that we have dominion over this planet, over the animals, over the plant life. We'll choose what grows here and what grows there. And just who do we think we are to make those decisions and take something that was created pretty much infallible by God and tell it how it's going to run? Really, this is part of the problem. This whole ego, this whole thing about, you know, we're in charge and we can, I mean, we are manifestors and we are creators, but you can't throw away the fact that you need to have respect for what you're working with and the nature of all of this stuff, that it was created in harmony. The stuff that we've put here, it mimics the stuff that was created by God. Like, the computer is modeled after the brain, you know, retrieving information, the processing unit, all of that. The way people do irrigation and stuff, that's actually modeled after trees and plants. Well, the only difference there is we created these things, and they're trying to replace the things that are already out there doing that instead of acting in harmony with all of it. So check out that blog. I kind of have no choice but to incorporate multiple things in there because I'm guided while I write, so they do what they're going to do. And they needed me to say that. And I don't think anybody would contest that. I just think that we don't have any respect for what we have, for the planet around us. We treat everything as though we need to fix it because it's really just not... it's not good enough the way that it is. But why do we think that? Like, why do we think it's not good enough the way it is? It's all conditioning. It's all conditioning. The people that want to be in control have figured out how to manipulate the feelings, manipulate the thoughts of everybody else. They've been allowed to do that. They've been allowed to do that by us. Anytime somebody tells you how it's going to be, when in your heart you know that's not the way it really is, but you keep quiet because you don't want to rock the boat and you want to play along with all the society's rules and regulations, then you're giving your power away. And I'm not talking about don't go speeding through a school zone and say that I thought it was a good idea to just let things go and do what you want regardless of the rules. No, that's exactly the opposite. I'm asking people to have respect for everybody and everything. And to do that, you also have to have respect for yourself. You don't want to do something that's going to make you so uncomfortable that eventually you have like a moment where you go postal. That's what happens to a lot of people. This repression is really, really bad. It's what makes people sick. There was a comment earlier when I talked about, I actually have had some physical issues that I feel were a result of me not doing what I was supposed to do. I was sitting at a desk doing work in marketing, you know. You know, you should use your home equity loan and pay for things like this that are going to put you in debt so that we can make money. I mean, that's really what I was doing. I mean, when you look at it from a grander perspective, and I was upset with myself for doing it, but it's what I was trained to do. I went to school for communication. I learned the art of language. I learned how to do rhetoric, which is basically a nice way of saying BS. I learned about euphemism. Instead of saying, you know, something horrible, you can make it sound better. Language and semantics are what supposedly we're supposed to be the greatest thing about our society, about our species. We can do these things, read and write and communicate verbally. And instead, we've actually used them against our own selves. It's really ridiculous. And as I sat at that desk and I was doing that work, I had horrible back pain. Back pain, I had neck pain, I had emotional issues, and at that time I wasn't as openly spiritual as I am now. And I can remember thinking, or maybe even hearing from my guides and thinking it was me, that the fluorescent lights were like literally killing my light, like my personal light. And something was really, I got headaches all the time. Well, once I transitioned out of that, which you might think was by choice, but it wasn't, I actually got laid off from my corporate job. Had to think fast, and I moved into massage because part of me had been urging from the inside out, please do something more gentle, do something that serves humanity, do something that's healing. It will be good for you as well as for the people you work on. And as soon as I did that, I stopped hurting. My back doesn't hurt now the way that it did then. And it was unbelievable. I'm in a dimly lit room. I don't have those fluorescent lights. I don't have headaches every day. All of the things that I was forcing myself to do as a result of I should be this, I should be that, and not listening to my inner self was killing me. It was making me sick. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I mean, what are we really afraid of? Seriously, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if you sit down across from someone, and let's just say it's a person that's a friend of yours, and you said, you know what, I think I might have this gift. I would really like to practice. Do you think it would be okay? What do you think that person's going to say to you if you say something that doesn't quite sound right? What's going to happen? They're going to tell you you're wrong. Okay, so what? So what? Learn those words, honey. So what? Nobody is going to come down from the sky and give you a big head smack and say, what is wrong with you? You're not doing this right. However, in the corporate world, the way business runs and all that, yes, if you make a mistake there, yes, there will be consequences. But they're not going to be from God. They're going to be from people who want you to do what they want you to do because it makes them money. So you have to keep continually putting this into perspective. You have to remember who your ultimate authority is. And if you're fearful every day when you walk around, chances are you are going to attract that vibration to you. And I used this before. I kind of like this one. Spirit kind of gave it to me, but I like it. I take credit for it myself. It's like, if you're a certain kind of person and you're looking for a party, where are you going to go, you know? If you're the kind of person who likes to, like, take E and be all wild and, you know, go home with a bunch of different people, you're going to go to a party. Where are you going to find that? It's the same thing with fear. It's the same thing with negativity. That vibration enjoys being with its own company, you know, in its own company. And you're not going to if you don't have a party that has that, it's not going to come find you because that's not their party. You know, you want to go to a party where there's like lots of people that are accepting, people that don't judge you. You know, that's the party I want to go to. I don't know about you, but I kind of like those parties. That's what you really just need to keep in mind. And I was going to write an article about the person that I interviewed this week, and I'm actually not going to do that. I don't think it's the right thing to do. But there were some teachings embedded in the conversation we had that I'm definitely going to share. And with respect, you know, I'm not going to give out his name or anything, but some of the stuff that he told me was exactly the stuff that I received from my own guides. And so I know that we're on the same kind of vibration level. But what he talked about was the untrained mind. And this is in many different formats. When you go out and you try to look up things like the shadow self or the ego, that part of the person, basically you're going to find this kind of idea that the untrained mind is like a small child that's running around, you know, misbehaving. It's never been taught how to do anything. It's never been disciplined. Of course, that's what it's going to do is run amok. Your ego, your left brain is untrained, and you really need to do something about that. You really can't just let it go along like that. It's like having a dog that you didn't train. It's going to pee all over the house. It's not going to protect you from bad people. It's going to bark when you don't want to hear it barking. You have to train it. So that's everyone's assignment this week. Go out and find a way to calm down the untrained mind and see if you can still it or busy it in a way that allows you to open up the right side of your brain and allows you to get further out into imagination. Imagination does manifest things. You know, if you go out and you start imagining, like even before bed, I know a lot of people do this, if you watch a horror movie before bed, if you start sitting there and your eyes are closed and it's going through your mind that, oh my God, a monster is going to be in my closet, on some level, you're going to really feel that presence is in your closet. I know it's not going to be like maybe full blown, but it's going to be real to you. So just watch it. Just watch your thoughts. And take responsibility for the thoughts that you have. Stop yourself. Don't blame everybody else for everything that's going on in your life. Turn it around on yourself. And when you do that and you take responsibility for yourself, you'll open up a whole new side of your brain, your emotions. You will calm down. There will be so many different changes, and you won't have to force them. If I told you to sit there and force yourself to calm down, definitely would not do it. It wouldn't happen. But if you go through this process and you lovingly and gently bring yourself through these things, it will happen as a result of you taking responsibility, being accountable for the thoughts that you put out there, the energies that you put out there. It will happen as a result of that. You don't really have to do much more. So I only have about a minute left, so I'm going to just ask people to start posting questions, please, so that I can actually answer them and have a real good show that everyone can benefit from. Thank you very much. And visit my website. Check out the blog. Leave your comments. You can visit my examiner.com page, and we can talk about, you can submit article ideas there too as well. So that would be great if you could all do that too. But I just want to leave you with that final thought, and hopefully you'll join me next week. And as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste.